Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Alana is with me on the line today in Sligo because, Alana, you sent in a photograph, a picture of a derelict building. Will you just describe the state of this building to listeners?
I will indeed, Andrea. And I'd also like to say the email that I sent to you with that picture, I also sent it to all of council staff and quite a few government departments, and nobody has replied. Apart from yourself and Dorothy Clark, who is the Director of Services in Sligo County Council, she replied to me 6 days later saying that she's out of the office. So essentially only you replied. I think you might have Rosalind O'Grady on the phone, and she's really familiar with the area and the background of the row of houses. But I work in the area and I see this row of houses daily, maybe 6 or 7 houses with a big empty lot out the back. And it's just been crumbling for as long as we've been around. I'm part of a small community group, and we work on High Street, so we see it every day. It's the very definition of a derelict site, according to Sligo County Council website.
Just describe it, Alana.
Three-storey buildings. They all have plastic facades on the front. A lot of the windows have been knocked out. The tidy towns have put up some plastic coverings over the windows at the front so you can't see how bad it is. But recently it's gotten so dangerous that the county council have had to put concrete bollards out in front of the whole building, cutting off the footpath and half of the road as well. So it looks like a building site that hasn't been touched in about 40 years. Mm. It looks like any other main street in any other town in Ireland, to be honest.
Is this an isolated premises on this street that you're talking about in Sligo, Alana? Is it the only derelict building?
On High Street, no, there's a couple others dotted around. A good few other dotted. There's a couple on the other side of the street. It's really underutilised, the whole area.
And like, if you're a resident, you know, or a business owner and you're working there on the street, you know, it's probably not the aesthetic look you want for the area.
Listen, nobody likes it. We have been in touch with the council, and the other businesses have been in touch with the council. And really, it seems like any kind of team that they have to deal with vacancy and dereliction is set up to fail. They have one person dealing with the refurbishment grants, one person dealing with dereliction. We counted at least 300 empty or vacant properties within a 1 kilometre stretch of the town.
So in Sligo alone, have a lot of 300.
In Sligo alone. We did like a 1 kilometre from the centre of town. We just did a survey working out from there. And yeah, we got 299 properties, houses, apartments, businesses with places overhead, sites with development potential. Yeah.
And at a time when people, I've no doubt in Sligo, who were, you know, keen to get on the property ladder and buy houses, and all we hear about is the lack of supply, and you've counted 300 derelict or empty premises in a 1 kilometre radius of Sligo town.
Yeah, from the centre of town out. Yeah, it looks pretty bad. Wow. Thank you, Simon, for doing that. A man came and did it for us, and it took him a few days, but yeah. It was quite shocking when we actually got the number. So we've been in touch with the council, and we just keep asking them, like, why are you not enforcing the levy? We were told in September last year that they would start collecting the levy in January. There's 31 on the derelict site levy for Sligo County Council. Sorry, it's gone up to 32 this year. They've added one more, and we're waiting to hear back if they have actually enforced the levy on any of these properties.
Well, I know last year most of the local authorities in the country didn't collect any money from the owners of derelict sites last year.
We were told directly by the council that they haven't collected a penny.
Right.
And that they hope
to
collect
money. So you want
the
derelict levies, you want that charge, you want that enforced by the council?
I would like the derelict levy enforced as it should be, yeah. I'd also like the council to maybe you know, like they know, especially this place across the road, they know the owners of the property, they know the developers, and usually they'll say, oh, we can't enforce the levy because we don't know the owners.
Yeah,
but they do know the owners.
Well, they actually got they sent us in a statement here, the council, and I believe that they've served a dangerous structures notice. This happened on the 30th of May. To the owners of there's one, two, three, there's four or five different properties mentioned here on High Street in Sligo. This has been instructed to the owners to demolish the structures on High Street as well, and I believe they've cordoned off the building to prevent access to the building and the surrounding areas. I've Rosaline on the line with us as well, Alana. Rosaline, I believe you're a business owner on High Street in Sligo. Like, how do these derelict buildings affect business?
Hello, Andrea. I'm Rosaline Doonan, and I have, like you, dry cleaners on High Street. It has absolutely devastated our business. Our business is down 70% since the council put up the bollards in January of this year, and nothing has been happening, really. The council were made aware that the buildings were dangerous. There are five buildings involved in this, plus a derelict site, and all belonging to the same ownership. And if they've been there, they go back to the crash of 2008. So the council have been aware of this derelict site and these dangerous buildings for all that length of time. But the buildings became really dangerous in January 2003. So, and you're after just saying that they issued the dangerous building notice to the owner only yesterday, 30th of May, yesterday. So why they haven't been issuing that notice last January, 12 months?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the reason for that is, but that's the statement they've sent us in anyway. Yeah. And they say they cordoned off the building to prevent public access to the building and the surrounding area. But I know you're a dry cleaners, actually, Rosaline. I'm familiar with Sligo, and I know where you're based.
Yes.
But you say that business, it is down. It's just probably
it
just
is.
It's the
yeah.
Look, it's the aesthetic, really, isn't it, around the area?
Absolutely. Well, it's not. It's the danger of the street at the moment. I mean, I know they've cordoned it off, but if those buildings come down, they do pose a serious danger to the public. If you were driving down or walking down the street, there's no way that the way they have it cordoned out at the moment would protect
okay.
you.
And then,
I mean, because the building, it's not one building, you see, Andrew.
I know.
There are a series of buildings.
There's a series,
you know.
Yeah. They do mention a number of property numbers, all
six up to nine,
all right in the statement.
Yeah.
I presume, similar, Rosaline, to Alana, you want the levies to be levies to be connected, and that's not just a Sligo issue.
No, but it's particularly relevant to these buildings because they are the biggest block in one of the finest streets that is affected. And by issuing the making a derelict site order on it, they would be able to enforce the rates, and maybe that would force the owners to do something with it.
Because High Street is a very, like, it's a busy street. It's right in the centre of the town, Rosaline.
Absolutely, Audrey. And when I moved in there in 1974 originally, into
right.
one of those buildings that we're speaking about. I lived in number 6 High Street.
Oh,
and
did
my
you?
Future husband, I did, and I met my future husband there, and he lived in number 7 and was born
right,
in number 7
okay.
High Street. These are the derelict buildings that we're talking about. And when I lived in those in number 6, it was one of the finest buildings in the town, and the High Street was one of the big, it was the main trading and it was a fabulous street, and now I feel so passionate about it.
I
and I feel that, because as a Sligo person, born and reared in Sligo, I just feel, as well as having my business, I also feel that, you know, I can't be proud of my town. And there's so little interest in it by the council and by the public representatives. I haven't heard anything from the Chamber of Commerce talking about it. I haven't heard any of the councillors talking about it. Like, well, to be fair, Declan Bree and Tom McSherry, they have been involved in it, all right, but that's all. And I mean, there are 16 councillors representing Sligo, and then they represent the town as well as the county.
Mm.
But
there's just enough
to appear to be the appetite.
It's not the,
to do it.
Right. Like, let me bring in Frank O'Connor, Rosaline, just for a moment. Frank is from Anish and Derelict Ireland. Like, it's not just Sligo, Frank, at all, that is, you know, plagued with derelict buildings.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for letting me join the conversation. It's really interesting hearing what they were talking about there. Yeah, it's a national issue. And look, the derelict site register has been in place for 34 years, Andrea. 34 years. And we've failed miserably to enforce it over that period. And the feedback we've got, obviously we've been doing the campaign for 4 years now, myself and Jude, and what with the feedback we've got from a lot of local authorities, it's never been taken seriously. And going back to collecting the levies, it should be revenue collecting the levies rather than the local authorities. If they haven't managed to do it in 34 years, they're not going to do it now.
They're not going to start now.
Switch over. They're not going to start now. So we should look at getting revenue to collect the levies, and I'm sure they do a much better job in doing it.
Well, you know this better than me, Frank, but you know, like, particularly in the climate that we're in at the moment, and we're always hearing about the lack of housing supply and trying to encourage developers and builders to build. But like, if we're talking about four or five houses on one street alone in Sligo town, I'm sure there's many other listeners tuned into us at the moment who have, you know, a very similar story in their area. We have two different grants, don't we, at the moment, for people to, well, you know, that they can use to do up. So why has that not been pushed more?
Well, obviously, yeah, and Elena said there, obviously, they found 300 within a kilometre radius. We found 700, Jude and I, in Cork City, 700 within a 2 kilometre radius. So this is a national issue. It's the places, the homes are all potentially in the urban centres. So it's where people need them. It makes sense from all kind of angles, climate, resources, housing, etc. And you're right. I mean, if it hasn't been taken serious, we need to do something about it now. And there are measures that could happen. So we've released something to try and support people in terms of the election coming up, so people know what to ask for. And one of the things that we've spoken about, register all the derelict sites, find the owners, like we said, the levies. That should be transferred over to revenue for collection. But also there's a measure called compulsory purchase, which should happen to every property after 2 years. Now, I spoke to you a few times before about it, Andrea.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we've spoken the past few times. I mentioned the fact that, like, for example, if you take somewhere like the Netherlands, Amsterdam, a property can only be empty for 6 months. After 6 months, it has to be used. Whereas in Ireland, like what they've been describing there in Sligo, it's the same in Drogheda, it's in Limerick. Everywhere you go in Ireland, this is a big issue. And going back to the health and safety issues, I mean, I've been watching what Elaine has been posting in terms of Sligo. And look, we had a very sad story back in Cork in 1999. A young woman was killed, Aoife Bell. She was killed from a falling building. And we still have buildings falling in Cork on a weekly basis, crumbling.
And you think if these levies, if this was, you know, enforced that the local authorities were going out gathering the derelict levies, that...
Well, I suppose there's a lot that has to happen. The first thing, we've got to register all the properties. I mean, yeah. If they're not being registered, I mean, look...
Well,
the levies alone would make a huge difference if they were collectors. But obviously, we need to first get the data, find out all the properties. Like Sligo have done a brilliant job in identifying the properties there. We've done it in Cork. Other people like Drogheda have done it as well. Register all the derelict properties, start enforcing the levies, but also we need some kind of cultural change in this as well. We shouldn't accept it. It is vandalism. You know, it's affecting our towns. It's terrible to hear our businesses down 70%. That's terrible. But we've heard that about loads of other businesses as well. How can you run a business? How can you live? Why should kids be growing up in streets where there's derelict properties all around them? I think I mentioned to you before as well, we're living in city centre in Cork, and there's kids passing derelict properties near us every day, going to school, coming from the hotel where they live in temporary accommodation, but they're passing derelict homes on the way. What kind of message are we giving out? Now, there is so many properties in Ireland that are vacant or derelict that could be turned back into homes in a time where we really need them. You know we need spaces, yeah. But it's homes, it's cultural spaces, community spaces, but also it's just, why should we let our urban towns and cities...
Well, you hear Rosaline talking about the impact of it. I can well imagine for people living near so many derelict houses, it doesn't look great. And if you have businesses as well, of course it's not the appeal you want for it. I think there's currently a grant, isn't there, for a derelict property. It's about 50,000, isn't it, Frank, to renovate it?
Well, there's grants up to 70,000.
There's two of them, that's right, yeah.
There is, yeah, but they are working, but they're too slow. I mean, they've been too. What happened was they thought that it was a measure that wouldn't work, so they kind of underestimated the demand. The demand for it
seems to be plenty of them, according to Alana and Rosaline's calculations, and that's only a 1 kilometre stretch.
So when the government introduced the grants, you know, as a result of all the work of all the campaigners across Ireland, actually asking, but they introduced the grant, which is great, but then they didn't put the resourcing behind it. It's too slow.
Yes, but
they need more of that. But also going back to impact, I wanted to say, like, with the impacts are so wide. They impact so much part of society. So it's having a huge impact on people's mental health as well. Their well-being, the safety, bringing people
the impact.
Into the town.
Okay. Hang on for a second, Frank. I've got Dom on the line as well with us. Dom's in Drogheda. What's the story with derelict properties there, Dom?
Just as the earlier caller said, Alana and Frank, it's pretty bad in Drogheda as well. Myself and a fellow traveller, Anne McVeigh, we did the thing, the 100 days of walking. We did 100 days of vacancy in 2023. And I started off and I did the first 100 up until April. And Anne continued, and just we photographed the property every single day. And that's along a stretch of about 3 kilometres going through the central artery through the town. So we picked up on 200 properties, and that's without looking upstairs at vacant sites above shops on the main street in West Street. We have a particularly bad site in Drogheda, a street called Narrow West Street, which is absolutely destroyed with dereliction and has been for the guts of maybe 2 decades now. It would have been part of the main shopping thoroughfare in the town. And like the council have only recently begun to act on that. Just back to the point that Frank was making about the derelict sites register. When we started in 2022, there were six on Louth County Council's derelict sites register, which there were only one in Drogheda. Now, since we started applying pressure in Drogheda, they've upped that to 27. So there are now 27 officially recognised derelict sites in Drogheda. And just back to stuff like the resourcing for grants and stuff. If the council were serious and if the council could collect the levies, and as Frank pointed out, if revenue were collecting the levies, the money would be coming in. I just did a back of the cigarette packet calculation. That would generate €285,000 per year in Drogheda alone. And that would surely resource enough people to be able to allocate then the resource to make sure that the grants are allocated. And I think the point that Rosalie made earlier on about the pride in your town is actually devastating.
It's a huge thing.
As a Drogheda native, I've grown up, been here all my life, and to see the town centre crumbling in the way it's been allowed to crumble by the council and by the owners is horrifying, because we're trying to give a positive image in Drogheda. We're a beautiful town, we're an historical town, really beautiful medieval streetscape, gorgeous architecture that's just been allowed to crumble around us, and it's really not good enough.
Lister here says, I live in North Sligo in a rural area, and I counted the other day at least 30 derelict empty houses on a 10-kilometre stretch. That's not to mention all of the holiday homes that have been empty for 6 months of the year. Another listener, people must realise there's no money to be made with too many houses on the market, and all the politicians don't want to fix the problems, no matter what you say. Clement has got in touch. He says, last week we identified almost 40 vacant buildings in Nina Town Centre. Our client is looking for accommodation for their staff. We could actually fill them if all of the owners would engage with us. You see, that seems to be a big Frank problem, or a big problem, I should say, Frank. It's trying to track down people that are the owners of these vacant properties.
Well, it does seem to be a problem, but sometimes it's just an excuse to, Andrea. You know, we had that from the city council here in Cork, Jude Hard, and we were told how difficult it was to find owners. So what we did, a simple exercise. We went out to the streets and we knocked next door. We identified the owners quite quickly. So it can be an excuse as well. And also, you've got to remember, a lot of the kind of policy stuff can be enforced without the owner. So you can start charging the levies onto the property, and then obviously you need to go through the CPO to bring the property, then the property costs go back onto the owner. So you can actually move forward with it. But yes, unfortunately in Ireland, we have a lack of data. We don't even know how many homes we have in the country. So we've no idea how many homes we have. And going back to the sort of dereliction, just to give you an idea, Andrea, there's only 1,900 properties registered derelict across the country. Yet the Geo Directory told us a couple of years ago that there was officially 22,000 derelict properties.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to come back to this, Frank, I think maybe next week, because quite a number of people getting in touch actually about their stories, and even those too, I believe, that are trying to access the vacant home grants. So if you've tried to do that and you want to share your experience, you can drop me an email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. But maybe just, Rosalina, a final word to you. You want these levies collected and you want that to happen sooner rather than later.
Yes, I do. And I also want the council to act after the 21 days and where they have given the dangerous building notice to the owners. I mean, the owners now have 21 days to make their building safe.
Okay.
And council to enforce that.
Yeah, we'll get in touch with you maybe again in 2 or 3 weeks' time, Rosling, and see if there's any update there. Rosling, listen, thank you for joining us. Alana as well, who got in touch with us by email, actually. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. That's Frank O'Connor there from Derelict Ireland, and Dom with us in Drogheda.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.